The new 1% rule. I don't think acquiring properties at the 1% rule is going to be a thing for very much longer, if it even is. So how do you get back to the 1% rule? Let's talk about the new one. Before that, we want to talk a market minute on finishing your unfinished space in your home, whether it's a basement or other rooms in your house. Could this be a good idea? Is this worth the ROI, the money? Is it going to get you the ROI? And the tool of the week, it's actually a book that I'm really loving right now. This is the Midwest Invest Report. All right, gang, welcome to the Midwest Invest Report. I'm your host, Kyle Reedstrom. You guys know the gig. If you're not subscribed to our newsletter, the Midwest Invest Report newsletter, why haven't you hit the button yet? We are growing in subscriber base. You guys, we're putting out more and more content every week. I'm really excited about what we're seeing on there. We've been diving into real estate investments like 20-plex last week. We dive into house information, things to do during the spring season for your house. We dive into tools that we like to use as business people, as entrepreneurs, as growth mindset individuals, which I'm guessing if you're listening to this podcast, you might be. So you guys definitely subscribe to our newsletter, the Midwest Investor Newsletter, which the link is down in the show notes. Check that out. Guys, also, our YouTube page is growing. So check out Kyle Reedstrom YouTube page. Subscribe if you want updates on the videos, trying to put out content as we get questions, as we're engaging with the people in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo about what they want to know. So you guys, that's your two prompts. Welcome to the show. Let's get right into it. The market minute is all about finishing the space in your home. If you have unfinished space, right? You might be listening right now and you're like, hey, my home's completely finished, but maybe someday you could get into a home that has an unfinished basement or a new construction house where you're going to have some of it left on the bone, if you will. You guys, I thought this was really interesting and I wanted to bring this to you for knowledge sake. Generally what I'm, let's use the example of an unfinished basement. Okay. Common thing, if you're building a two-story house, you've got two levels of living. Maybe that basement is the thing you leave unfinished for the future. If you build that rambler house, do you have that space below that you decided, hey, we're going to save the money and we're going to save what that might cost for now and leave that unfinished for the future? Can you build sweat equity in this? Yeah, if you're doing the work yourself, that's a whole different story. But generally what I'm seeing, if you're going to hire that work done, and even if you're doing it yourself, by the way, you're going to have to hire some parts of it. But if you're hiring that work done, I'm usually seeing quotes between $30 a square foot and $50 a square foot on the high end. Okay, so for example, if I pull up my quick calculator here, if you have a basement that's 1,800 square feet, so that would make, you know, your main floor, that's about a 3,600 square foot house, right? And you're getting that that basement finished and you wanted to add some amenities like maybe a little bar area or maybe an accent wall. At $45 a square foot, that's $81,000, okay? So finishing this basement, finishing this space is not a, it's not a small feat. Now, the question that came up is, would it make sense for me to do that? It was really fun to dig into the numbers. I actually shot an entire YouTube video on this about comparing the actual houses that have unfinished space compared to houses that have finished space in the basement. You can check that out on my YouTube page. But the gist of it is this, you guys. I looked at our entire market for the last 2 years, closed transactions, and there were only 8 ramblers that closed in the last 2 years that had unfinished basements. I was pretty surprised by that. 8. I was thinking 20, 30. I wanted to see the price difference. Those 8, the prices, and these were higher square footage ramblers. Like these were between 3,500 and 4,200 square feet. So larger homes. They range from about $600,000 to $650,000 for unfinished basement. Okay, I was surprised by that. Okay, so then I wanted to crack it open and say, okay, how many of these, what are our comparables? What's our net cast for the finished space, the basements with finished space? when I did that, that was about over 70 listings came up with finished space. And the range was, you know, down a little close to that 600,000 all the way up to 840,000. And so what did that tell me? That told me when buyers are out looking for property, if you're going to sell your house, right, you're going to need a buyer to come to you. They're going to be looking for finished space. That's where all the sales are happening. And if you don't have a finished basement, you're likely going to be getting compared to another Rambler that does have a finished basement. And that's the only way you're going to get a buyer to talked into that is if you give them a discount on price. So example I use is, hey, if you built your home, you know, like I said, 600 to 840,000 for that finished space, you know, there's a lot of different amenities we're not talking about in there. If you went and built your Rambler for 680,000 and were able to get that basement finished for, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, could you sell in that mid sevens to upper sevens? Yes. Now that sometimes that's like I spent a dollar to make a dollar, but the increased usage of a basement for you, if that's right for your family, could be a positive. And in some cases you might even be able to hopefully finish that for a little less and actually get a return on your investment for finishing your basement. So I thought that was interesting. I hope that helps. It's kind of fun to dive deep into the real estate market, things that are happening in our real estate market. This was all about finishing Rambler style homes, basements. Maybe we'll do a little follow-up on this for two stories. But hopefully that provided some value and some kind of context to the idea of, hey, should we finish this or not? Or we're getting quotes for this. Is this reasonable? So on to our second portion, you guys, let's get into the content. I'm excited to talk about the new 1% rule. You guys, if you don't know what the 1% rule is, and this is going to speak to some of those investors out there, some of you guys that have listened to real estate podcasts, the 1% rule was like the quick and easy way for you to analyze a real estate investment. Okay, hey, this property hit the market, even in different markets, right? Like I can look in Minneapolis and say, hey, this property just hit the market. It's listed for $270,000. I can say, how much does it rent for? And the 1% rule states that if it rents for $2,700 a month, 1% of the purchase price, it would generally be a good cash flowing investment. Okay. When I got into real estate, the 1% rule was very prevalent and it was very able to be hit. I had a lot of clients. I was buying myself. My clients were buying properties that were hitting the 1% rule. Example, we'd go to North Fargo and we'd find a house for $165,000. And we'd just say, how much is it renting for? $1,700 a month. Oh, it's beating the 1% rule. This is a good investment. Let's check it out. Now, if you actually run the stats back, the 1% rule factors in, you know, general expenses for, you know, operation. And then the bank, the amount of money that the bank is going to charge you with it, like a general 20% down loan, the numbers kind of do shake out. So the 1% rule was generally used and still is widely known by a lot of investors. You guys get it. Well, update to 2024, the 1% rule is rarely something that you can hit these days. And a lot of investors are frustrated by that. Yeah, so why is that? Well, first off, we've had since 2019 an amazing appreciation in values. Even places like Fargo have been slower. And slower, I mean 3, 4, 5% appreciation. But that's moved our average price point from, you know, 210 to 222 to 235 to 249. And now our average price point's up around 272 in our market. So like these average prices keep cranking up. And so our prices have went up. So if rents aren't climbing with the same rate of prices, you guys can see where the 1% rule would start to hurt. Now that's on the income side. Now on the expense side, the reason the 1% rule worked was because banks were giving 80-20 loans, 20% down, 80% loan. And generally interest rate was around 4 or 5% on the high end. Now interest rates are around 7%. You know, so now our income, our prices are outpacing our rents and the actual expenses are quite a bit higher. So people are getting frustrated with this 1% rule. So I'm here to come up and give you guys the new 1% rule. Maybe I should coin this. We should get this trending on X formerly known as Twitter. I always hear people say that. You guys, there's still a way to hit the 1% rule. And you guys have heard me say this before. If you're an investor listening to this, if you're somebody that wants to get into investing, it's not about buying the perfect investment on day one. And so many people are out there like, you got to buy, you win in investing on the first day you buy it. You know, you win on the buy side. I'm here to challenge that a little bit. I like it. And I see this succeed time and time again. When an investor buys a property, puts on their investor hat and has to think through the strategy it takes to make this investment a winner. And that's what the new 1% rule is all about. It's about forcing your property into the 1% rule. The way that you do that, spoiler alert here, is you either lower expenses or you increase the income. That's how you hit the 1% rule. So, perfect example, if you buy that duplex for $270 and it's rented for $2,400 a month, you're not hitting the 1% rule, okay? So how do we get that up? Okay, so number one, lower expenses. I got a couple tactics here. I always like to give you guys some bullet points. Lowering expenses on a long-term rental is going to be an interesting thing, right? Generally speaking, tenants take care of most of the expenses and your only expense is the bank, taxes, and insurance. But if you're in that duplex situation, you have any other expense line items. Things like property management are usually involved in a rental property. If you do have utilities you're paying on a multi-unit property, that's an expense line item. So there's different categories. If your expense block on your P&L is not clean, there's your opportunity. Perfect example, you guys, property management. Is it time for you to start shopping for a property manager? Could it be a smart thing? I think property managers are all within the same kind of range for their rates. Is it time to self-manage your property for a while? Maybe one leasing cycle. A lot of people are frustrated, or maybe their job is kind of hanging out, like they're not seeing increases there. And their portfolio, you know, if you have more capacity and time, I'm a big fan of leverage. I'm a big fan of staying in your lane. But what does it look like for you to get that management expense back into your world? I don't know. You have to answer that. The other thing with utilities, you guys, is we've done a lot of study on billing back utilities to the tenants that use them. Do you pay for a dumpster for your duplex? Is that something that consumers and renters expect you to do? Not necessarily. If you set the expectation that they're going to pay for their own internet, they're going to pay for their own garbage, they're going to pay for their own water, they're going to pay for their own electricity, they're going to pay for their own heating and cooling, this next leasing cycle, could you eliminate some of those expenses? The other thing is like consistent maintenance, you guys. That's kind of goes along with property management, but things like snow removal and lawn. We in Fargo Moorhead, as you guys know, we didn't have a lot of snow last winter. Were you paying for it? You guys get the idea. It's time to dive into those P&Ls. It's not the fun thing to do to look at expenses, but it could be the profitable thing to do. Okay, the second part of this is income. And this is how I see people hitting the 1% rule most commonly. It's when they're starting to think outside the box, mainly on ways to make this property create more income. Everybody that invests in real estate that I know that has been doing it a long time just loves to do 12-month leases. You guys, there's this new age of traveling contract workers, which more and more businesses are going towards hiring people on contract rather than hiring long-term employees. There's people coming to our area that need a place for 9 months. And a lot of times they need this place furnished because they don't want to move or uproot where they're at. Mobile work is on the rise, and that allows people to live and work wherever they want to. Furnishing a unit, let's use this duplex for example. What would it look like for you to have a 12-month tenant on one side, maybe up the rent a little bit, and then you put furniture in the other side and use that as a midterm rental or a short-term rental? A lot of people are still unfamiliar with the term MTR, midterm rental. Midterm renters are an amazing tenant demographic. They're really high quality, usually professional type of people. A lot of traveling nurses are considered midterm renters. And it just requires you to spend the cost it takes to furnish that space. And, you know, sometimes it even takes some cleanup. But you guys, these are the ways we're forcing and making the new 1% rule work. The other thing that I don't want to brush over is if you're sticking with the long-term side, there's other income opportunities available. A lot of other markets, people are renting out the garage space as additional value, you know, like additional dollar amount. You know, so you're able to advertise one. You don't want to bait and switch people, but garage space is really valuable in our market. What does that look like for you to rent the space without the garage? And if they want the garage, it's an extra $125 a month. This is, you know, that's over $1,000 a year that you didn't have before. Storage space is something that people are using as for tenants and people. If you have storage on your property, that they can rent that from you and you can create income there. Also, coin operated laundry. Laundry is the common one. Some buildings have laundry in unit laundry. Some buildings, some property has the laundry in a common space. Can you create revenue from that? You guys, there's different ideas around increasing income. There's different ideas around decreasing expenses. And this is how we force the new 1% rule to work for our real estate investments. Okay. I think we need, as investors, as savvy investors, we need to understand that if our properties aren't cash flowing the way we want them to at the 1% rule, it's time for us to put that hat on. Okay, there's my encouragement. There's the new 1% rule. Essentially, it's forcing the 1% rule to happen rather than buying the 1% rule up front. All right, guys, I want to get into the end of the show here. Our tool of the week. Guys, it's actually a book. I'm reading the book 10X is Easier Than 2X by Dan Sullivan. And hold your coats. That book will really mess with your mind. Now, I might be speaking to some of the business owners out there, but if you have a business owner mentality or you're running your rental portfolio like a business, like many of you are, you guys, this type of thinking is crucial for us to get to where we want to go. And by the way, disclaimer, it's going to rock your brain and it's going to be convicting because you might be doing a lot of 2X activity right now. And it's going to have you start thinking like 10X activity. And some of the things that you're currently doing might not need to continue to be done in order for you to get where you want to go. But this this book, Dan Sullivan is partnered up on this one. It's his third book in a series, I believe, Gap in the Gain and Who Not How. You guys, these books are amazing business books. If you haven't checked it out yet, what an amazing book to listen to at the gym. Dan Sullivan actually does some interviews after each chapter when you do the listen. And you guys, it's just a good book to open up your mind in 2024 to see what the possibilities you might have with your business or with whatever you're doing in your life, how to 10X that, and what is 10X activity compared to 2X activity. Check it out. That's my tool of the week. You guys, I'm going to end the show. Thanks again for tuning in to the Midwest Invest Report. You guys, I love doing this show. I want to prompt you to leave a comment down below. If you had any questions or you've got a supplement you'd like to add, I want to engage with you. I appreciate the comments. You guys, give us a like so we can get this out to more people. And if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube page, we would love that. And definitely show notes for the Midwest Invest Report newsletter comes out every Monday in your inbox, giving you the tools to know about your market and what's happening in your market. You guys, thanks. I'm Kyle Reedstrom. It's been a pleasure. This was the Midwest Invest Report.